everybody. Quick note, in the bulletin, I put in a copy of that financial statement for you all to see. As I've said every other time, I would treat it as my own because it is. If you have a vested interest in having a gospel in this place, look at it. If you don't understand it, I'm available by text, phone, and email. Be glad to sit down and talk with you about it. And I'd emailed that out yesterday. In the bulletin also, those two articles of Clay's, it says copied. And whenever I cut and paste sometimes, if there's upside down commas, as the Australians say, I like that way. But the parentheses or the quote to just say and quote, the beginning and the end, and I didn't catch that. And Kimberly's working some overtime yesterday, and she wasn't able to review the bulletin. So I don't like making mistakes. If I'm going to do a job, I want to do it well. Let's begin turning to Jeremiah 23. We're going to be in 1 Timothy, but Jeremiah 23. This morning, we're going to turn quite a bit, see what the Lord has to say. There's a great magnitude, a weight that comes with telling eternity-bound men and women of who God is, what He has done, what He is doing, and what He's going to do. If somebody's going to stand up and say those things, you better be right. I had better be right. So I'm going to tell you what He says. That way I have to be right. I want to go over some words this morning in this Sunday school. Some words you've probably heard before. I hope you've heard them. You may know what they mean. I hope you do. But if not, if somebody doesn't know them or never heard them, I'll tell you today. There's three words that typically describe, man uses to describe the Lord, of who He is. He is omnipresent. Omnipresent. That means He's everywhere at once, in all places. That ain't like man. And we have a real hard time understanding that because it's so much not like us. God is omnipresent. And that's a comforting thing because He told us, "Lo, I am with you always." I don't mean it matter if I'm going real fast on an airplane or sitting in a cave or a place where cell service isn't. It doesn't matter. And that's to me, and that's to you, and that's to other believers. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. And you know, that's completely contradictory to let Jesus into your heart. If He's omnipresent, He's already there. He says He turns the king's heart, that's the good kings and the bad kings, just like a river of water. He just, like He opens a floodgate here and closes one there in an irrigation system, He moves it just as He sees fit. He's there too. Can't let Him in a place He already is. And I say, oh, don't push God away. How can you? He's everywhere. Look here in Jeremiah 23, verse 23. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I feel heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I feel it. Nobody can hide from me. And that's what the heathen's going to do because they don't understand these things. In that day of judgment, the scriptures say they're going to cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on. Put me in a cave. Get me away from this man. Been running from him their whole lives. And now he's there in person. They don't want anything to do with him. But our Lord's omnipresent. There's no running from him. They asked David, they said, where is your God, David? Where's everybody? I wish I could ask this state that. And these people that profess to be Christians, they're all over. I ask them where their church is. They don't have one. Where's your Bible? They don't own one. Well, I got some commentaries or some fictional books that talk about Jesus or something. Where's your God? They don't have answers for those things. Where's God? Is He a few steps behind you, trying to play catch up? Is He reactive instead of proactive? That's like Job's miserable comforters. They said, what did you do to make God do this to you? There's things going on right now in this room. Look around. What did you do to make that happen? Was God reacting? He's proactive. He wills it before time. And He's not surprised. Everything comes to pass just exactly in its time. We'll look at that next hour. In its time. It's his times. His times. He's omnipresent. He's all over, and he's omniscient. Turn over to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. All of the Lord's providential grace that he's given to me, it was in his perfect wisdom, and it was for his name's sake. All the Lord's grace that he's given to you who believe, it was perfectly wise, and it was for his name's sake. It was for the glory of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that the thrice holy God manifest in a body. It's for his glory, and it's for our good. Look here in Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. David says, Lord, you know all things. You know the words of my tongue. You know my words before I speak them. He tells that of his people. He said, but I'm going to make you ask. I'm going to do it. You're going to ask. But before you open your mouth, I'm going to already answer it because I put the words there. I know your words. He knows all things. He's everywhere. But he's omniscient. He knows everything. There's nothing that could be known that he doesn't know. If he's everywhere, always with his people, whether we want it or not, always with everybody. If he's all-knowing and all-wise, does that just mean that God is really observant? Is he everywhere and sees everything, and so he's wise enough because he knows all that and he sees everything? You can see stuff going on, can't you? And you can say, well, that's going to happen. If I pick this glass up and I let go of it, and that second you see me let go of it, you know what's going to happen, right? Is he piecing all these puzzle pieces together, and out of just a really high IQ and good data and information, he can see the future and predict what's going to happen and come to pass? God forbid. That's what people who falsely or wrongly understand predestination. They say, well, God looked down the annals of time and he saw who would pick him and who wouldn't pick him, and the ones that picked him, that's the one he chose. That's a soothsayer and a fortune teller. That's a lie. That's somebody with a crystal ball. That's make-believe. No. Where's your God, David? He said, our God's in the heavens, and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. That means he always did do what he wanted to do. Whatever happened, the pain that's going on right now, that's what he's done. God did it. And whatever's going to happen tomorrow, frown, or if it frowns upside down, it's exactly because God wanted it to happen. Come on in. He's in the heavens, ruling, reigning, and doing whatsoever he pleases. If we could get that, instead of giving lip service to it, and bow to the holy, omniscient, omnipresent God, our lives would be a lot different. We'd act a whole lot different. We'd organize our days a whole lot different. We would praise and thank him. T-H-A-N-K. We would think of him more. We'd T-H-A-N-K, we'd thank him more too. We would. It'd run through us. And it does for those that the Lord works in. It's just so. He says he melts them. There's no lukewarmness. He lights them on fire. He's all wise in his will. He's everywhere all the time, and it pleases him is exactly what he does. Not what pleases us, what pleases him. Not our ways and our wisdom, his ways and his wisdom. This omnipresent God, this omniscient God, one that's everywhere, one that knows everything, is also an omnipotent God. Some people pronounce that omnipotent, and some people pronounce it omnipotent. And if they know what it means, they can pronounce it any way they like. We're buddies. He's all-powerful. What he wills, he does, and what he does is what he willed. And he has the holy power to do so. That's why he's God. He's the sovereign of the universe. In England, they have a sovereign in name only. They have a king right now until his kingdom comes to an end. Then what's on the docket is the next king, unless something else happens, or may end up being a queen. Who knows? That's what they had before. But they have one in name only. And our Lord, he is Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. We have a sovereign, almighty, holy God, and we are to give glory to his name because of his mercies towards us. We ought to. We should give glory to his name regardless. But because of his mercies towards us, that's how we have a heart to glorify him. And because of his truth's sake, his name's sake, because of Christ our Lord, our Savior, the one who willingly shed his blood and gave up the ghost, knowing everything, was everywhere. He manifested himself in the body, and he shed his blood, and he gave up his ghost for his people, suffering the wrath of God. God turned his back on God, knowingly. That didn't catch him off guard. He wasn't surprised by it. We get surprised by stuff. We get frustrated by stuff. Not the Lord. His anger gets kindled. I can tell you that. There's some things that I thought the other day, I said, there's things that make me mad, things that make you mad, get you fired up. And we're evil. If it makes me mad, what do you think God thinks about it? If it's a righteous judgment, if it's true and it's opposite of this word, if somebody says something or does something or preaches something that's opposite of this word, that lights me up. I want to do them people listen to them a favor and go fist fight them in the parking lot. Maybe break their jaw so they can't lie on God no more. If that makes me mad, how do you think God feels about it? It's a frightening thing. Where's your God, David? Where's your God? He's with me always. And he's my whole armor, and he's all and in all, and he's completely powerful, the only power, and he's holy, and he's on his throne right now and forever. His holy high command has never missed a day of work. Ever. Now, we know that on a Sunday at 9:57 p.m. I want to remember that on a Tuesday evening at 2:42 p.m., don't you? I want to know that when I get up to work on Thursday morning. Don't you want to remember that? I want you to. How do we know this? How do we know these things? How do we know that we know these things? We praise him. We praise him. We don't just... The Lord ain't an 800 number hotline that we bellyache to all the time. Now, that's not what takes place, but that's murmuring. That's murmuring. I want to stop that. And I want to thank him. I want to go from petitions, from asking what I want and what I think and what I want to have. Lord, would you please let this happen? Lord, here's how I think things ought to go, because like he needs my guidance. And just thank him. I'm talking about me. I don't want to ask any questions. I don't want to give any influence or guidance. Well, let me give you a suggestion, Lord. Maybe you ain't thought about this. Just thank him. That's what his people do. That's what that new man, that new creation in us does. Now, we're trapped in this old body of death. The new creation, if there's a new creation there, that's required. That's what it's going to do. Psalm 115. I'm going to scare you here in a minute, and I'm going to say we got to our text, but I'll go quick with it. Psalm 115. Look at verse 17. Psalm 115, 17. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. Dead people don't thank God. Well, I thanked him one time. No, I don't have a tenor of life, a creation that's ever thankful. The dead don't have that. They don't thank God. Now, they bellyache to him, and they complain about everything, and they carry on, and we do that some, we do. But they don't earnestly think, not at the end of that, correct? You ever come to your pure mind, come back to your right mind, and you go through it? Believers do. We go through all that. We hurt. Job rent his clothes and shaved his head and covered in sackcloth, and ripped his clothes, just screaming, tore all to pieces. And that lasted just as long as the Lord allowed it to last. And he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord gave, Lord takes away. Bless his name. They thank him. The dead praise not the Lord, verse 18. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Don't you want to? Wouldn't you like to just thank him for absolutely everything that comes to pass from here on, from this time forth and even forevermore? Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I've took everything from you. I've killed your children. I've burnt your houses down. All your silos are empty. And the only thing I've left you, Job, is a wife that's sitting there telling you to cuss God and die. Ain't much of a helpmeet, huh? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. That sounds good in practice, and it sounds good on a piece of paper. But when it comes to fruition, there's a whole lot of the faith the Lord gives will only prove to the end if it proves to the end. I won't be made faithful to the end. Do you? I won't be conformed to the image of Christ. Do you? I want to thank him. Do you? We do. Lord, I believe. Same thing, isn't it? Help my unbelief. Lord, I thank you. Help my belly aching. Get rid, cut it out. Make me thankful. Because you're omniscient. You're omnipresent. And you're omnipotent. All power. All power. There's only one place that a man will worship. And that's before the throne of a sovereign, almighty, holy God that does what he pleases, when he pleases, with whom he pleases. Anything else is plotting and positioning for self-gain and self-needs. To a God. It's manipulation. There's worship and there's manipulation. That's it. There's praise and there's mutiny. Whatsoever he pleased, that's what he's done. Whatever pleased him, that's what he did. Whatever pleased him tomorrow, that's what's going to come to pass. Now let's look at our text. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I want to look at a word here. It goes with omnipotent, omnipotent, before we get the word. It's not used very much at all. It was used greatly in the United States when I was a child growing up, between about the ages of 5 and 11, something like that. Late 80s, early 90s. This was used a lot in faithful gospel churches, and I maybe that day will come again. I want to influence it. It's a good word. It's called potentate. Potentate. 1 Timothy 6, verse 15. Which in his times he shall show. 1 Timothy 6, verse 15. Which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. What's that start with? In his times. In his times. What are the Lord's times? That's who it's speaking of. This is the Lord's times. And he's speaking in languages we understand. He's omniscient or omnipresent. That's not just everywhere right now at once. That's throughout time. That's like, you all seen that movie, that man that did math, and it's actually my dad's cousin, related to A Beautiful Mind. He kept doing math, and he was so good at it, he went crazy. There's some nonlinear inverse equations you can do, and you really start getting, by the time you get a handle of it, you've lost a handle of everything else. You go nuts. If you sit and think about that, the Lord's everywhere, all at once, throughout time. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can't even, you'll go crazy thinking about those things. And his times, what's time? He gives that for us, don't he? Before there was time, was his time. Before there was time, Christ was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Time didn't exist. There wasn't no such thing as clocks or days or nights or anything. And he was, as he is, the lamb. That was him. We read in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. There's nothing there. It's void. And God said, let there be light, and there was light, and he saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and he called the light day, and he called the darkness night, and the evening and the morning were the... You ever got a hold of that? the first day. There were no days before that. There never was a day. The Lord was. Correctly, that's how we understand it. He is. But how we would say it, our brains can understand it. He was then. And he said, I'm going to make a day. And that was the first day. And you know what? There'll come a time there's a last day. Maybe today. We woke up this morning. This is it. There'll never be another day. That's it. Just going to be eternity. What a thought. He called that the first day. He made time for a purpose. Turn over to Galatians 4. Galatians chapter 4. He made that first day, and he purposed that last day on purpose. When God does something, he does it on purpose. Whatever happens today, God willed on purpose. If we get that, it'd be good too. I want to get that. Galatians 4, verse 3. Even so we, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness, the completion of time, it doesn't say the fullness of time, it says the fullness of the time was come. Right on time. And this is what time was for. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, that happened in time past, before the foundation of the world. It had to come to fruition. It had to come to pass. It had to take place. But when the Lord said, that's what I'm going to do, it was done. It was done right then. Because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, Father, Father. Well, we cried Father, and then we became sons. That is not what that says. It says, because ye are sons, because this is what God purposed before time. This is why he made time. You're going to call out to him, and I'm going to put my Spirit in you, and then you're going to call. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Oh, buddy. The time of that hour, we saw that throughout John, didn't we? Mary come to our Lord and said, hey, they're out of wine at this wedding. And he said, woman, what do I have to do with you? You know my hour's not yet come. He kept talking about that hour. My hour's not yet come. My hour's not yet come. I'm looking at that hour. What am I going to say? Father, take this cup from me, that this hour don't come. He said, that hour is why I showed up. This is my job. I came to do my job. No, I didn't come to talk about my job. I didn't come to write a book about what doing the job is. I came to do it. That's the hour. That's a time, isn't it? And now, where's he at now in this time? Hebrews 10 says, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, one sacrifice, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting. That word expecting means awaiting. It's Hebrews 10:13. From henceforth awaiting till his enemies be made his footstool. Where's your God, David? Sitting. He's not pacing. He's sitting. Waiting till his enemies be made his footstool. What's that mean to all the enemies of death and Satan and all of those be conquered? Well, yeah. And us who are enemies to the last saint that's an enemy of God, hating God. Not that they figured out the gospel and then, well, I knew it all along and I found it now. You were an enemy. He says so. And he conquers them. And he works in them and rules them and keeps them to the end and makes them just like his son. That's a time, isn't it? From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. What about my times? It's their time. This is for my children. My children are only children in this place. I'm going to preach them for a second. It's their time out there. Right now, it's our time. We know that from a movie, don't we? What about my time? I live in time. David said in Psalm 31, I trusted in thee, O Lord, and I said, thou art my God. My times are in your hand. What time? All of them. While I'm sleeping, while I'm awake, while I'm happy, while I'm sad, while I'm obedient, while I'm disobedient, when I'm an enemy and when I'm a faithful servant, truly looking to Christ, all of it is in his hands. Doesn't that make you want to look to him and praise him and thank him? It does me. That's when that time's going to come. The Lord's going to work in his people. And he said in Ezekiel 16, he gave a picture of an aborted baby out in the field. And he said, you're in your own pollution. You're in your own blood. And that's what we were doing before, wasn't it? Even I was in the right place with the right preacher and the right doctrine and all that stuff. And it was still my blood. I was covering myself in my own works. We'll sit next hour. I had my own furnace where I was making sacrifices. The Lord said, I came to you in your own blood. And your time was a time of love. I loved you first. And I covered you. You didn't have enough sense to be covered. You was a baby. You couldn't cover yourself. You couldn't do anything. Just lay there and die. He said, I washed you and I cleansed you and I adorned you and I fed you and I took care of you and everything. And what do children do? Do you remember being a child? Do you remember being a teenager? I was brilliant when I was 15. They probably should have made some statues out of me. I was a genius. And them silly people that ruled me and had to rule over me, I'm surprised they kept the bills paid. I mean, they kept me in food and a house and insurance and vehicles and all that, you know. But other than that, they didn't own up. Then I aged a little bit. That time of love came. Here, 1 Timothy 6:15. What's the Lord going to do in his times? Well, all times his, we know what he has done. What's he going to do? What's God going to do? 1 Timothy 6:15. Which in his times he shall show. He's going to reveal. He's going to show. He's going to put on display for admiring the blessed and only potentate. The Father is going to take the blessed and only potentate and right when he wants to, and he shall show him. And everybody's going to see the potentate. What's potentate? It means a couple different words combined together. Ability, power, and sole authority. He says only potentate, but the word itself, it means the authority, the power. There's no other power but this power. There's nothing else is able, I mean, to do anything. You ain't able to take your next breath except for this one that's able, this potentate. And all power, if there's any power, it's given from above. You know what the Lord told Pilate? Pilate said, don't you know I got the power to kill you? He said, you don't know nothing about power. The reason that your ATP production is going on in your cells is because my Father's pleased, so that's why it all comes from above. This is the sole authority, omnipotent, omnipotent, potentate. That's what it means. All power, all power. Turn to Philippians 2. I'll hurry. Philippians 2, verse 5. This is almost, I pray this for you, I pray this for me. I want this mind in me. And the mind in the New Testament refers to the whole of me. Philippians 2, 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, the only potentate. Not the chief potentate, only, not one of many, only. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and things in heaven, and things of earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That day will come in the Lord's time. He's speaking of that final day, what we're concerned of, when Christ will be shown, the potentate will be shown, and every tongue is going to confess. That's Lord. I saw it on a billboard down there at the farmer's market the other day. Jesus is Lord. What's that even mean to people? They'll put a bumper sticker. He said, in that day, many people will say, Lord, Lord. And I said, depart from me. I don't know you. I want to know him. Yes. I want him to know me. He has to know me for me to know him, but I want to know it. I do. And every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess in that day. That's what old Brother Henry said. Salvation is, damnation is the truth discovered too late. Do we praise him now? Or we give him our list of demands and wants, needs, and desires? I want to praise him. I want to bow now. I want that tongue to confess he's Lord. Lord, you're omnipotent, you're omnipotent, you're omniscient. You're everywhere, you're everything, and you're doing everything as you please, and it's right because you're holy. I want to say that in truth. I have a new heart. I have a new creation. I want everybody in this whole nation to say that. Don't you? Your loved ones? If my enemy said that, guess what? They ain't enemies no more. That's what you used to be. Not now. Lord said, as lightning cometh from the east and shineth into the west, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be, like lightning coming out of the sky. It's going to show forth. Show forth. Back in our text, 1 Timothy 6. If we know of the Lord, I thought about that too. People say, oh, well, there's apocalyptic and this and that and end times. And if you know him, why would you want to stop that or slow that down? Seriously. Come on. If you do that, the Lord will come. I hope. Maybe he will. Be one. That's what an Israel is trying to sacrifice them red heifers. People's up in arms. Let them have at it. What if the Lord's just disgusted with it? He said, this is the final day. I'm coming. I'll save my people. Good. It's wonderful. I want to be where he is. I'm going to be with him. Be made like him. 1 Timothy 6:15. Which in his times he shall show the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality. He is eternal life. You get that? And so I give them eternal life. Well, what's that? Christ. He only is, immortality is not a thing. It's not a condition of without an expiration. It's him. He only is immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto. No man's seen the Father. If you got in his presence and you open your eyes, it'd kill you right then. He's light, and it just burned through us. We'd perish. But Christ, who no man can see or has seen the Father, he goes in the Father's presence. Well, how can we be in the Father's presence? We're in him. We're in him, the one who is light. Approach unto whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Honor to this one and power. He has a power. Yep, and we're going to agree with him. He has it all. Keep it. We're tickled to death. And honor. Honor. You know what honor there means? Payment. Payment. Like a check. Payment. All dues. You pay your dues. All dues. All payment goes to him. Honor. All honor to him. Paul used that same Greek word one page back there in 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. People say, oh, well, you got to respect them twice. That means pay them double. What? That's crazy. It's what it means. Especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. Here's another place the same word, honor, is used. We don't like that one as much. I feel weird saying it, but that's what Paul wrote. Lord used him. Here's another one. Here's another place, honor, same way it's used. Ye are bought with a price. Ye are bought with honor. Ye are bought with a Christ. 1 Corinthians 7:23. That's what the word means. Ye are bought with an honor. An honor. It's not so we think a price. I'm bought with a price. Well, those went down and coins were laid down. It's counted out or weighed in the balance or something. We can understand. You're bought with honor. It's right. It's just. Doesn't that make it more precious? This isn't a legal transaction. This isn't a theological dissertation that we're given. God bought a people with honor, with his son, who's honorable. Now, this omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, potentate. I thought of Jesus. I just had now, wrote down there for a long time, and I took a walk. And all I could think of was what Jude said. Now, unto him that is able. That's the potentate. Ability. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory in that light with exceeding joy, because he wanted to, willingly, not begrudgingly, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this word. Lord, thank you for your promises in Christ. They are yes and amen. How thankful we are, Lord. We've been bought with his honor. What a thought. How majestic this is, your will. Lord, make us believe your word, what you say, what you said he's going to do, your promises, and make us ever mindful of them, that we remember this is for Christ's glory and it's for our good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for the blood of your Son. Thank you for where he is now, the things he's going to do in his people and for his people. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us our doubting, our murmuring, our disbelief, and be with us always, as you said you would. It's because of Christ, because of this potentate, we ask these things. Amen. All right, we'll take about a 10-minute break, meet back.